Pret Queen Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti from Kulmai Annual Festival, the 24th edition, and today I'm in company of Dennis Kelly, screenwriter of Black Sea by Kevin MacDonald. Welcome, Dennis. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
So we were talking about yesterday's screening, and as I told you, you owe me a manicure.
Yeah, I might well owe a few people a manicure. It's quite a tense film.
So how did it all start? Because I know that in your experience, you're famous because you won a Best Comedy Award for Pulling.
Oh, yeah.
Plus, you wrote Utopia.
Yes.
And you also wrote a musical, Matilda musical.
Yes.
That's correct. So you, let's say we can say that in the screenwriting field, you wore various hats. So how did you manage to write a thriller? It's also different genres, I mean.
Yeah, well, I suppose I started writing plays. So I've written quite a few plays, and some of them have been done here in Italy. And some of them are quite tense. Like, they're quite sort of... I've got a couple of plays that are really in small rooms about kind of what happens when people are confined together. And I think that was why Charles and Kevin approached me. They had seen some of my plays and they thought that this would be a good idea, you know. And I'd always been interested in writing for film anyway. And Kevin had wanted to do a film that was set on a submarine, the idea wasn't that it was a normal submarine film. It was more a film about desperate men, about kind of men that have kind of lost everything, you know. That was really what we were trying to do. So he got me to watch quite a few films, like Treasure of the Sierra Madre and Wages of Fear and this sort of thing, and they're all films that have got nothing to do with submarines. So it took me a while to kind of work to find a story that would fit this, what we were trying to sort of write about.
Plus, it's not a typical submarine film because they are all driven by greed, we can say that, but also, can we say hope in a certain way?
Yeah, I think greed was the first thing that came in. You know, when I first started writing it, we sort of felt that it was greed that was driving them. But as we were writing it, as we were sort of going through the process of rewrites and stuff like that, we realised there was something else, which was, it is a kind of hope. But it's also sort of, it's not just about hope, it's kind of, they're men that have been used, you know, they're men that have been used, they've given all their life to this job. And this is a thing for working class men all over Europe, actually, you know, that you give all your life to a job. And there was a time when you would do that. And my father was, you know, my background is working class. My father worked on buses, and he had that job for like, he used to get a medal for like 40 years service, you know. And there was a time when if you're a working man, you got a job. And part of the deal was you kept that job. But that's not the case now. You get a job and it's not necessarily a great job. And then 5 years later, you've worked your ass off and you may be thrown away. And that was sort of what we ended up writing about as well. These men, all men that have been thrown away, you know, and they're kind of fighting back in a way. So it's not just about money for them. It's actually about sort of, you know, saying I'm alive, you know.
Yeah, that's what's happening also in Italy. There are a lot of documentaries and films about that, like when you were used to identify yourself with your job, with your work, like, yeah, dedicating all your life or most of your life to what you're doing, it sort of defined you.
Yeah.
And then you're left with nothing, or at least that's what you feel.
Yeah, well, I think that's true. I think it's in it's even worse in the UK, actually, because we had Margaret Thatcher, who for you know, nearly 15 years really just destroyed town after town after town, you know. And she let, there are places in the UK, I mean, you can see the effects of this now. There were once working class communities, and now they've, you know, fathers don't work, children don't work, you know, and even sometimes grandparents don't work, and they almost don't know how to now. They kind of, they're used to not working, you know, and they become villains in our society. So our press and our media sort of kind of looks down on them and sort of says that they've, you know, they're lazy and they've all got problems, but there's no work in these places, you know, and they're very depressed places, you know.
What hit me was the character played by Jude Law. I mean, in a certain way, he's hoping, he's trying to get, let's say, revenge or like, but this feeling is not that strong. It's more, what's stronger is, for example, his way of seeing himself in a young boy. Like, he sees possibilities there, and that's what he wants to offer this boy, at least about it. He's not really, he's thinking about his family, for example, but not in a way like, okay, I'm gonna get the money out of the submarine, and then I'm trying to, I don't know, get back with my family stuff. There's not, if he thinks that, that's not all he thinks about.
Yeah, well, for him, I think Jude brought a lot of that to it. I think Jude brought, you know, I think for him, it, you know, it's not about, for example, it's not about getting money so he can buy a car. I mean, we don't actually know what he's going to do with the money when he gets it. It's like, you know, but it's so, and I think that was quite important to Jude. You know, he sort of, the more he sort of looked at the character, the more he sort of researched the character. And he went out on a submarine for 5 days with these guys. Like, he was out there for days underwater with this boat, you know. And I think he felt that that was important, that, you know, it's not, when these guys are working together, everyone has a really, really important part to play. And if you don't play your part, you might all die. And that's how submarines work, you know. And Robinson, Jude's character, is sort of at the centre of that. So he is just a person with responsibility. But it's what we wanted as well, was we wanted it never, because it's not really a military film. It's a strange submarine film because it's not military. So you never really see them using military terms, or they don't really call him skipper. You know, they call him boss. You know, skipper is the word you would use for a captain of the submarine. So there is this sort of sense that they're all working together and that they all have a role to play. But it's a kind of a voluntary thing as well, that they are working together because they know how to work together, you know.
I was thinking that through the whole film, I don't know if that's normal, but I didn't really know what to expect, and plus I didn't really know what to hope for. I don't know if that's weird or something that you wanted to express, like, by writing it.
Yeah, well, I wanted it to feel like we wanted it to feel fast and tense, and we wanted it, you know, we felt that there was a time when we used to make films that were kind of, they were about people, they were about real people, but they were also adventure films, you know, and these days those things are sort of split, you know, so you get kind of films that are more sort of art house or more gritty or more real, and then you get these films that are like Ocean's 11, these big kind of Hollywood blockbusters. And I think that's an artificial split, you know. I don't think that it has to be like that. I think, you know, there was a time when we made these films that were a bit more, those things were a bit more merged, and that's what we were trying to do. So, but it means that it's very, very tense, so it doesn't give you time to think, you know.
So it's actually normal. Okay, I'm normal. So what year are you? The film is coming out in February, on January, the end of January in Italy. What do you expect from? Do you expect to get a lot of letters asking for manicures, or what do you think?
I hadn't thought about the manicure thing, but we should have put some money aside in the budget for lawsuits. No, I hope it goes well here. I mean, it feels like a good response. You know, it feels like people, you know, from what I can gather, it feels like a good response so far. But I mean, Italy is such a, film is in the blood of Italians, you know, so it's kind of important to us that Italians like the film, because, you know, we feel that this is where so many great films were made and are still being made, you know. So I hope it goes well here.
And we know that you know a lot about Italian culture and cinema, because you spend a lot of time here in Italy.
Yeah, my wife is Italian. She's an Italian actress, Monica Napo. And so I spend some time here in Italy, and I'm trying to learn Italian. I've started to try and learn it, but my Italian is so bad. It's a very difficult language.
But you managed to say something on stage yesterday.
I said something on stage, sì, è vero, sì. Ma... mi italiano è troppo male, troppo troppo male.
We'll see. I really hope to see you again and to interview you again, so that I can check your Italian.
Perfecto, grazie.
And good luck with the film, and thank you for the film.
Thank you very much.
That was with Dennis Kelly, screenwriter of Black Sea by Kevin MacDonald, here at Cormayan Writing Festival, and this is Chiara Nicoletti for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.